Well, as I think I've mentioned before, Revelation 7 is always a problem. Not because of what it says. It's about as straightforward as you can get. The problem comes that in my undergraduate degree, my last semester of Greek, my Greek professor said that instead of all of us doing separate projects, we are all going to do the same one. And it's Revelation 7. And the project was, in your own way, however you want to, answer the question, who is the multitude? I mention all that, not because that's what I'm going to preach about, as the sermon title probably indicates, but just so you know that, well, when you get into Revelation 7, a chapter of scripture that absorbed my life in a way that nothing else had for a very long time, before or since, really, if I just start going too long on it, I'll just get up and leave, because you never know when I'm going to stop. There's all kinds of fascinating things in here. But rather than looking at some of those kinds of questions, we're going to answer the question, are they all sheep? Are they all sheep? Well, in a sense, it's kind of a peculiar question because we've talked about sheep frequently here, and we've sort of settled the whole question about sheep. Except we don't really know what the question means. Are they? Who's they? Who am I talking about? Well, we're going to be looking at two of the passages of the lectionary, not Psalm 23, interestingly enough, but our gospel reading and our reading out of Revelation. And the thing that I want to zero in on more than anything else is in the middle of our gospel reading. And you recall, of course, because we've just heard it, Jesus is being bothered again. People are asking him, are you the Messiah? Are you not? And he says, I told you, you didn't believe. The miracles I do speak for me. You do not believe because you're not my sheep. And then we read, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. As I was looking at these texts, I thought I'd spend some time on that one. Not because this is maybe an issue for anyone today, but it probably has been at least at one point. For most of us, we're fully aware of what we're like. And we know perfectly well that we have all known what we were supposed to do, and with our eyes wide open, didn't do it anyway. And we've known things that we weren't supposed to do, but with our eyes wide open, we went ahead and did them anyway. In other words, we have knowingly, willfully even, sinned. I'm not talking about making a mistake. I'm not talking about running the stop sign that you didn't even see. I'm talking about knowing what you should do and just saying, no, I'm not going to do that. It's part of the human condition. We've all done that. We've all been there. Why bring it up? Well, I bring it up because of one of the problematic translations or interpretations that people often have in our John reading. And people with, maybe this is just their way of life, or they're having a moment where their conscience is unusually tender, and they read, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And we say, but I don't listen. There was this time, just last week, earlier today, whenever it might be, that I knew what I was supposed to do and I didn't, so I must not be a sheep. Because that's all or nothing language, if you choose to look at it that way, because we do. It says, look, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. So if you don't listen and you don't follow, can you still be a sheep? Why do you think Jesus used sheep? Why do you think sheep show up all over Scripture as a description of what we're like? It's not because sheep, once you explain something to them, to the limits you explain anything to a sheep, you never have to do it again. Because that's not what sheep are like. Sheep need a shepherd, not because every day of their life they're facing brand new, novel, unique, never before seen experiences. No, it's because they forget how to get to where the water is that hasn't moved. The same water they went to yesterday and the day before that and who knows how long ago, and they just don't. Sheep need a shepherd because they can't take care of themselves. We need a shepherd for the same reason. And as I said before, I don't know that any of you are struggling with this, and I hope you're not, but it's a common thing among believers to encounter scripture like that and say, I must not fit. In the same way, in our Revelation reading, we have John in a vision, seeing all kinds of things, 144,000 people, which, you know, many think is an exact number of an exact group. You know. Anytime, this is a tip, nothing to do with the sermon particularly, but just a tip about reading scripture. If you run across a nice round number, if you run across something easily divisible by 12, or 40, or 7, any of those, and this isn't just about scripture, for pretty much anything you read from before about 1650, it probably isn't an exact number, the same way the speed limit is an exact number. 144,000 is a fascinating number that means completion, not really anything else. It means a whole bunch, and they're all there. So we're not looking at that so much. We're looking more at about verse 14 or so. The elders asked John, who are these people in the white robes? Where do they come from? And John knows perfectly well that those kind of questions asked by elders, asked by angels, tend not to be really looking for an answer. He says, well, you know. And so, he says, they are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation. And we look at this, and even if we're able to just sort of step over the list of tribes and all that earlier in the passage, which wasn't read for us, we look at that and say, well, if these people made it through a great tribulation and they're now there, what am I going to do? Now, very few of us have lived through what most of us think of when we think of the great tribulation. And I don't know about you, but I'm fairly certain that I'm not called to be a martyr. There's only one way to prove it, and unfortunately if you're wrong, it's sort of an all or nothing kind of proof. I'm fairly certain that I'm not that kind of person that books are written about later, about the tremendous faith that people have. I don't know what I'd do if I went through something like the early Christians did during Diocletian's reign, except I'm pretty sure I'd give in. Not very attractive, certainly not noble. I just know myself, and I just don't know that I'd be able to stand up to whatever it was. And so if I look at that and I say, well, if you have to go through this tribulation, what hope is there for me? I won't speak for any of you, but perhaps you've wondered the same thing. We look at this and we somehow have to be perfect in how we listen to Jesus and follow him, and then we have to be the kind of people that go through this tribulation and come out the other side. Well, are they all sheep? Of course these people are. We know about these. But what is it that makes a sheep? Those who listen are sheep. Period. That's what Jesus says. He says, those who listen are sheep. He doesn't say those who listen perfectly and never have to have anything repeated to them are sheep. He doesn't say that those who listen and once they hear something, they've got it forever, those are sheep. He says, no. Those who listen are sheep. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to perfectly follow Jesus to be Jesus followers. We just have to follow. We don't have to be perfect listeners to be listeners. We just have to listen. And it takes a lot of the pressure off. It doesn't give license. It doesn't say that we can do whatever we like. What it says is that those who listen to Jesus and follow him as best they can are sheep. That's his language. And so what does listening look like? It looks like any other kind of listening. listening to Jesus means that we pay attention to that inner sense, those messages we get from wherever they come. We listen to them and we act on them. Being a sheep is not about being in church every Sunday, no matter what. Being a sheep isn't about anything that you do that can be outwardly measured with ease. Being a sheep doesn't mean you drive a nice car, or that you refuse to drive a car at all. All of those external things have nothing to do with you being a sheep following Jesus. Sheep, listen. When you have the chance to do something, and you do it, that's listening. Sometimes this is big and dramatic. Sometimes you need to listen to a call to pull up stakes and go somewhere else, because it happens. But most of the time, we listen by being the people we've been created to be. We listen by, when we get that little prod, we actually follow through with it. Listening is a little bit different than hearing. Listening means doing something about it. And as I said, they're not always dramatic, but you never know what they're going to mean to someone else. If, for example, you're on Facebook and you're reading someone else and they're talking about how discouraged they are, that their job is driving them crazy, that they just don't know what to do next, and you have this little trigger in you, you have this sense as you're listening that what they need isn't some psychological counseling or therapy or anything else. What they need is they need to hear Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And on it goes. A wonderful psalm of confidence. And when you have that feeling, when you've heard that and you copy and paste it onto their wall, as Heather did just a couple of days ago, what you get, or what you can get, and what she got, was someone's response saying, "That's exactly what I needed." I don't know him as well as Heather does, but when he said, "I read that and I just cried because it was so perfect and it reminded me of all the things that matter," this was someone who was deeply moved. Did it cost Heather a lot? What does it cost to find a psalm, copy and paste it? Not much. But what did it do for the recipient? That's building the kingdom. That's making a difference, a profound difference in the life of another human being, a human being for whom Christ died. What could be more important than that? That's listening. All of these people are sheep. And we don't know what they did. We don't know what the tribulation was like. There are all kinds of people who suggest that we're in the tribulation right now, which, you know, compared to times of profound persecution, sounds a little trivial. But at the same time, I don't think we can call this perfect. A world in which people die, they get sick, bad things happen for, as far as we can tell, no good reason. We're all going to make it through this, whether it's the tribulation, if there is a the tribulation or not. How do we make it through? What sets these people aside? How did they become sheep? According to Jesus, these are the people who listened. Last week I said that some things are simpler than we want them to be. And this is another one. We want this to be kind of complicated, or at least complex. We want it to be hard. We want to have a list of things that we go through and check them all off, because when we've done all that, then we know we've done something. We've done something complicated and difficult. What is more complicated and difficult than listening? Not much. Talk to a professional counselor, especially an extroverted one, and ask them how long it took them to learn how to listen. Listening is complicated, it is hard, but it is also simple. Because we don't have to listen perfectly. I think one of the best things Jesus did for us is not give us a list of things that we can check off. Because that's what Judaism had. That's what let Paul say, that according to the law, I was faultless. Jewish law at that time was a big, long checklist, and Paul had checked it all off, and he said, and none of it mattered. None of it was enough. But listening is enough. Listening is enough. Are they all sheep? Are we all sheep? But it's a pretty easy test. Do you listen to Jesus? If you listen to Jesus, you're a sheep. Period. Amen.